Kia ora. This program is brought to you by Wellington Access Radio. Get your voice heard.
Why not listen to me, Mike Gawley, and Thomas Bryan, co-host of No Labels, the show for, by, and about issues, barriers, and solutions affecting the disability community in Aotearoa, New Zealand. Every episode focuses on accessibility news and views relevant to our community. That's No Labels with Thomas Bryan and Mike Gawley, playing regularly across the Access Radio network. Hello and welcome to No Labels. I'm Mike Gawley. On today's show, we're repeating a program, 1 and 5, that I produced and presented for Radio New Zealand National. The reason we're airing this edition of 1 and 5 is because it features the late Alan Jones with his wife Annette Moffat at the Boxing Day Test against Pakistan at the end of 2003.
Yeah.
I thought that's why Richard Jones was playing.
Could well be.
I think he's not. If not.
It's the summer of cricket, and Alan Jones and wife Annette Moffat don't want to miss any of the action. At the start of the Boxing Day Test at the Basin Reserve, they're settling themselves into the member stand, and I've managed to talk my way past security on the basis that I'm joining the said couple for the purpose of interviewing Alan. It's a good enough reason. Alan's a regular sight at these matches, although sight's not quite the word to use in Alan's case.
By them to look at pictures of Shane Bond.
Oh, I see. All right. Yeah.
And if you haven't twigged to it yet, here's another clue. Who else wouldn't mind sitting behind half a rail that cuts out a lot of the view?
But down below there, I hear the ball thud into the boundary, which is always good. And of course, the warm-ups, you can hear very plainly the bat hit the ball and the different other noises around, like the groundsman's tractor and the ground announcements, etc. Like they've already had the toss and New Zealand are batting. But it's quite good too, because people arrive and, you know, just some people you know who say hello to you and that sort of thing. And of course, I, being totally blind, I don't need to see anything, so just being able to hear what's happening down below there is tremendous.
I noticed there was a sign down below that says radios are permitted so long as you have earplugs.
Yes, yeah. No, I always ring earplugs because I don't believe in it. And they could disturb the players, you know, going over the pitch, but other people just like to watch. I follow it by listening to the commentary and headphones. And this radio here hasn't got a speaker; it's just got, just operates on headphones. It's a good way to do it.
Some might wonder what the fascination is for a blind person to actually come to a cricket match rather than just listening to it on the radio. I mean, why bother?
But you don't get the atmosphere at home. You don't get the atmosphere of the hubbub of the of the noise, like the bat hit ball. You don't hear that so well. Well, you do on TV channels, but it is the atmosphere of the basin and the nice fine weather when it is nice and fine and people, and you can go down and have a cup of coffee or you catch up with people you haven't seen for a while. Like there's a lot of things which make it really worth going to.
And how long would you sort of stay through the test? Would you be rigid about being here every day, or do you come and go?
No, come and go. Depends on the weather, depends on the state of the match as well. And it's got to be fine. It's no use if it's too cold, it's not worth it, because you being inside the stand's not worth it to me. And of course, the game's got to be in a reasonable position as well. But there is something about test matches, like, you know, following it right through.
Well, people say that because obviously, for instance, estimating a crowd size today of about 5,000, but that compares with 35,000 if this was a one-day international. Is it still very much cricket test matches for the purists?
Yes, I think so, yeah. You get a few more on holiday time who want to, something to do, and they probably enjoy doing it, but I'd say it's mainly for the purists.
And what makes you a cricket purist?
I just love the whole idea of the game, the slow nature of the build-up, the strategy. There's a lot involved in cricket, and good cricket, like at a national level, is always tremendous. There's always something happening.
Now, I know today Annette's here. I'm not sure if this is a tradition for you as well, Annette, but having someone talk about the players who are appearing on the ground and letting you know who the characters are they're going to be performing, is that important?
Well, so it can help. I mean, just especially at the beginning, you know, like Annette saying who she's seen out there, like she saw Scott Cyrus out there before. And it's always nice to know who's out there because, you know.
And I think actually, despite my relative cricket ignorance, I think I've spotted Richard Jones,
right,
who maybe will be making his test debut today.
Well, right, yeah, and that will be very exciting for a Wellington crowd, of course, yeah.
Apparently New Zealand have won the toss. What do you reckon about that in terms of today's conditions and today's match?
Hard to know at this stage. I mean, I suppose it will really depend how the wicket is. But obviously Stephen Fleming thinks it's worth batting. Let's hope he's made a good decision.
I mean, conditions today would be described as those typical sort of Wellington northerlies that make you think it's going to drench any moment now, but it probably won't. It's the sort of odd, kind of not fine, but nevertheless dry days.
It is a typical Boxing Day morning, I must admit. Yeah, it really is. You think, perhaps I'll get fine later on. And, you know, there have been other Boxing Day tests. We've bought the umbrella and had lunch out in the grass there, but we won't be doing that today.
So what's on for lunch today then?
I think we're going to a barbecue a friend of mine's having. But we'll probably... at the first drinks break, we might go and have a coffee or something like that. We'll just see how it is and how it's going.
With the weather threatening to toss in the towel at any minute, New Zealand's opening pair take the field. It's anyone's game.
It's not good, is it? It's that wind.
Oh.
Yeah. That wind might have changed a bit too. It's
coming around a bit.
Yes, it is, yeah. Right, yeah.
They've got very strong athletic men, though, don't they? Oh, don't they, Mike?
Right, yeah.
What are you imagining at this moment, Alan? What's in your mind's eye?
Oh, well, we've just got any minute going to start. And that, you know, there's a whole pitch of excitement. And I think, God, we might be going to see... we could see a tremendous test match. I'm just aware of the weather. The weather's not feeling good. That wind's just moved round a bit. And it's not as warm as it was when we came in. So, Richard Jones will be down the order a bit. Yeah.
I didn't quite get who was opening for New Zealand.
Oh, Richardson and Vincent. Yeah.
We might see a quick wicket then.
I hope not, God.
Not
good at opening. Well, Richardson's had a bit of a bad run, but... And this Pakistani bowler is tremendous. I mean, he is just amazing.
Now, which one's that?
Sohail Bakhtar. He's just got a reputation. I mean, he is just, you know, so. See, Mike, there's already quite a crowd up here. Usually, on a fine day, of course, the stand's not that well inhabited because people sort of disappear around the terraces and so forth. On a day like this, the stand will be quite full.
Because they're out of shelter.
Yes, yeah, yeah.
So this Boxing Day test, is that a tradition for Wellington to have the Boxing Day test?
Most years, yes. As I say, one or two years have missed it. Last year, they couldn't have it. But, yes, I think Wellington and Melbourne have always had this tradition of the Boxing Day test. And, of course, the Melbourne one's always, there's always 100,000 people there. Whereas here, you get 5 or 7. You could get 7,000 people here, which would be good. I don't know if they're broadcasting yet, I'll just have
it. It's the first ball and I think the batsman just let it go by.
Oh.
And he's bowling.
Oh, it whistled through to the keeper apparently.
So what does that mean? Does it mean that he didn't even try to hit it?
Well, right, I don't know if I don't know if he even saw it actually.
Yeah.
they reckon there could be a light appeal fairly early, the commentators. Yeah. And that's a pity. I suppose with such a fast bowl, though, that's right, they may not see it.
Yeah.
Perhaps I ought to go out there. Yeah. See, you heard the cry there, Mike, the bowler probably was appealing there. And of course, you can hear that from here. You can hear it both through the effects microphone and directly down onto the pitch.
That looked like he might have been appealing for what, though? LBW? Because he came up pretty high and seemed to flick off.
Maybe may been a catch, actually.
I don't know if anyone caught it, though.
Yeah, I mean, maybe they thought they might.
That was so fast, even I couldn't see it.
They're bouncing high, eh?
Clock to 141, apparently, that one, according to the commentator. So, they are.
Probably had a bit of wind speed addition to
that.
There might be a couple of K, I would think.
And if the light's bad, then that could be, that may not be so good. Yeah. How does it look to you guys?
It's a bit dull. It's got very dull just as the team came on, really.
Yeah. See, that was a good effort ball.
First run.
First run.
Do you know who actually got that run?
Richardson got it, apparently. Yeah.
Well, that'll make him feel a bit better, because didn't he do it for a duck last time?
I think he has, hasn't he? When he can get going, he's good. The other thing, I don't know if you picked it up there, I picked it up through the microphone, you heard the Pakistanis talking to each other, and that all sounds really good. Wonderful name, Dinesh Kaneri, or Kaneri, is the,
solid defensive block there.
Yeah, it was, yeah, and a nice sound of batting ball, yeah.
Is it leather on willow?
Yes, yeah.
Romantic.
Yeah.
I think when Kim Philby was asked what he most missed about England, he said the cricket.
Did he? Yeah. Yes. Dear old Poms are quite mad about their cricket. Funny though, because over there, like, there's some grounds they rave about, which I wasn't so keen about, whereas others like the Oval. I thought there was a noise of battering ball.
I would have thought so.
Shot up in the air. What? Knowing what happened on the ground.
Yeah.
Gosh, was that the over?
Yeah.
Six balls already.
Yes, yeah. Yeah, in England you get people raving about Lords, which I was okay, but the Oval was a tremendous ground because you had that height against above the pitch, which you have here, which I really enjoyed.
So would you have managed at some point in your life to have been to all the sacred and hallowed cricket grounds in the world?
Well, all the sacred and hallowed grounds in Britain I went to, yes, the six major grounds, and I've been to, I suppose, my favourite in Australia is the Gabba, the Brisbane one, and I have been to the Sydney and Melbourne grounds, so I will be going again in February, I hope.
Does it last so long? Like, nothing else is life these days.
Well,
I know people complain about boring cricket, it goes on and on, but
mean, what else can you know? You can read a book. You can, you know, you go to work. You can go to sleep at night, and it's get up next. It's still going. You know, you haven't missed it all. Like a lot of things in life, they flash past.
Do you remember one of the Boxing Day chairs we bought our Japanese board, and she leapt up and took the photos of the Mexican wave, but she really got wrapped up in that.
Oh, at Melbourne, they were really rascally there with the shouting and the throwing the big rubber beach balls around, the security guy would keep grabbing the ball, and then the crowd would all shout rude things to get it back.
And that's what you mean, isn't it, about the atmosphere? You just can't capture that by sitting at home listening to it on the radio.
Well, you see, especially when it's rowdy, you can hear the terraces over there, and it's just tremendous. I mean, you know, perhaps not so much a test match, but there's still a certain amount of, like, the crowd on the terraces know their game, and they'll get excited, or they'll, you know, rag someone, or, you know, shout at someone, or et cetera, et cetera.
The ones that aren't
boozing. Hey, that's a spit of rain.
But at Melbourne, you remember the Mexican wave went round to the members' stand and then stopped, and the members wouldn't join in, so the rest of the crowd would go, boo!
Right, yeah.
And then the wave would continue around, then it would stop each time. You know, there's this sort of... The terraces are the fun parts, and the members' stand.
Members don't get into a Mexican wave.
Oh, no.
But, of course, Melbourne knows its class politics, doesn't it?
Oh, yes. Absolutely.
Yeah. Showed that day, didn't it?
Ryan Waddle was just saying there's good queues outside, so there must be, you know.
Oh,
yeah.
Sorry?
Yeah.
Well, look, there's quite a few kids, aren't there? Sort of young people.
It's always good.
You know, an age mix on a Boxing Day.
Yeah.
I love the kids who bring along their cricket bats. I imagine they're going to try and get autographs later on.
Well, the Pakistanis have been playing with them, apparently. Like, at lunchtime, they'll go and, you know, and,
Of all the people on the field in conditions like this, I do pity the umpires, because they don't have to get to move around a lot.
Well, that's right. That would be a special skill, really, you know, the old...
Well, having done one umpire's stint in a social game between Radio New Zealand and some other team, and just the horrifying paralysis that you get into when people are appealing for LBW, and you've got two equally vociferous points of view on it. It's a tremendously difficult task to achieve.
Who won that game, Mike?
I can't remember, but probably if Radio New Zealand lost, I'd be blamed for it.
Yes, of course.
I refused to give LBW out because I just didn't have any real idea that of a genuine call versus not a genuine call. But even caught behind was just so difficult.
Oh, that's the thing. And even with modern technology, sometimes you think you can hear it, but you're not sure. No,
I think the best one is when the ball actually goes through the wickets and takes the stump out of the ground. Then you know.
There's only been one run, hasn't
there?
Is this the third over?
Yes, yeah. I was usually fairly slow.
Well, particularly since Richardson got run out in the first innings last time. I mean, imagine getting run out in a test match.
I know,
Well, particularly at the beginning of an innings.
Well, that's right, yeah.
Maybe if they were chasing a total and it was going to be either that or lose, then that might be understandable. But the beginning of an innings getting run out? Wow. Right. That was a classic piece of misunderstanding, I'm sure.
Yeah. More something you'd do under pressure, wouldn't it, when you're desperate to get run? Oh, he's gone!
Gone,
no.
I know. Oh, God.
And that was clear cut, straight through the wicket.
Yeah. As they said, the perfect delivery.
And who was that?
Vincent. And
Richardson breathes again.
Yeah, unfortunately. Could be the end of him. Time for adverts on the radio. Yeah. Oh, that's always pleasant. He comes out.
A long, lonely walk, isn't it?
I bet. It's a long way. Especially if you go off very quickly.
Yeah.
I remember being here, Mike, when Richard Hadlee got, I think it was his 400th wicket. And I'd waited all day, you know, and I got held up, but when I got down here, it still hadn't happened. And that was tremendous. That was, you know, just one of those occasions at the Basin you'll remember for...
I sometimes pull Alan's headphones off his head and shriek in his ear because I realise he hasn't been listening to me for hours sometimes.
Right.
Here we go.
Gosh.
Loud appeal.
A very loud appeal, yes.
You wouldn't want to give him out, would you really? It would spoil the game if they go too fast.
Pakistani's obviously good at lobbying.
Yeah, right, yes, yeah. Wonderful play, isn't it?
I mean, do different teams have reputations for the vociferousness of their appeals? Do they get reputations for that?
I suppose they do, yeah.
You like the Pakistani's noise of their drumming and everything when you went to England.
And it was the Bangladeshis. I always remember this Kiwi was telling me he was... I met up with him on the train coming back and he said he was a wee bit worried because he was in the... crowd with all the Bangladeshis, and he said you knew they were going to lose, but he said they're probably like us, are used to losing, and they just celebrated. They just, it's a wonderful celebration of music and feasting and you know, he said it was really tremendous. Now the other thing I always remember, one of the I think it was towards the end of the heats for the World Cup, and there was just a League of Nations, and in the end, no one might really mattered who won. It was one of those sort of things that I think South Africa won at the last... No, Australia won at the last minute, but either team could have won. But no one seemed to have minded. It was just the idea of the game that mattered.
Now, there's a good English sentiment. The game's the thing.
Yes. Oh, yes.
Yeah. Perhaps we have lost sight of that a bit, to coin a phrase.
Well, Fleming's got to make a few because...
Feel that rain starting to just get a little bit more persistent.
Right, yeah.
Even in here, so I wonder if there's going to be an appeal very shortly for light and...
Mm.
Oh, yes.
They're coming off.
Oh, yeah, right.
Oh, time for a coffee. Time to read the book.
Right, yeah.
It's always exciting, eh? All this running on with covers.
Oh, yeah.
The hurry to look
out. Oh, yeah, they get them on as quickly as possible.
Rushing on, following out a big bit of canvas.
So from the point of view of the beginnings of traditional Boxing Day matches, how does this one rate, Alan?
Oh, very typical, I think, Mike. Unfortunately, you always hope a wicket won't go too quickly. But there seems to be a tradition at the Basin of a wicket going fairly quickly. What amazed me is the number of people here right at the beginning. I think it's great. And there is a sense you want to be here for the first ball being bowled. Whereas on the second and third day, it doesn't matter so much, you know, but... Today, certainly, it was really important to be here on time.
And so we leave a couple of the game's most enthusiastic punters, Alan Jones and Annette Moffat. Later, the weather did fine up. New Zealand posted a healthy first innings, dismissed Pakistan well short of the target, but then collapsed to give Pakistan the victory. Never mind. There's always the one day as to look back on. That's where we leave tonight's programme. Until next week, when we bring you highlights of last year's successful celebration and performance at Te Papa to mark the International Day of Disabled Persons. Until then, I'm Mike Gawley, wishing you a safe and pleasant week.
That was One in Five, the Issues and Experience of Disability. The programme was produced and presented by Mike Gawley with technical help from Carol Jones. Cassette copies of One in Five are available for $25 from Replay Radio, Box 123 Wellington. It's just coming up to 28 minutes past 7.
My thanks to RNZ National for the equipment, studio facilities and sound engineers in the making of this program. And that's it for today's show. Until next time, I'm Mike Gawley, looking forward to your company then. Ka kite anō.
That program was brought to you by Wellington Access Radio. Get your voice heard. Thanks New Zealand On Air for funding accessmedia.nz.